الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ويرضى ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا وكريمنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال الله عز وجل في شأن حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. We abundantly praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submit and surrender only to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we direct all of our worship and our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings and salutations upon his noble, beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his beautiful and noble family, and upon the illustrious and noble companions and all of those who follow in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. My respected elders, dear brothers, sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of this beautiful day, of the day of Jumu'ah, may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon you all. And may this day become a means for our success, for our pardon, and for our forgiveness in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Inshallah al-Aziz, today we will talk about a topic that's been going on quite exclusively throughout the whole world, actually. Not just here in the UK, but International Women's Day. And this is an important topic for us to discuss, because we could not be here without our counterparts, and similarly they would not exist without us. This is part and parcel of the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the world is not just full of men, but rather it's also equally full of women, and the ratio is actually about 101 men to 100 women. So they're very, very close. It's almost 50% of population of the world is of women, and 50% or so is that of women. But there will come a time, as prophesied by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that the women will outnumber the men by very much. And that will time will come closer and closer towards the day of Qiyamah. So may Allah azza wa jalla enable us all to honor our women, our sisters and our daughters, our mothers and also our wives. So International Women's Day took place during this actual week, and it was there in the UN, it was there here in the UK, in Europe and everywhere else in the world. They have these select days, whether it's Mother's Day, whether they have it's International Day, or even for men and for women, for children, for disability, they have all of these particular days. But for us, it's not just a specific day where we honour our parents, where we honour our elders, where we honour our youngsters. Every single day we wake up, we remember that Allah is our Lord, and He has commanded us that every day you honour your women, you honour your daughters, you honour your sisters, you honour your wife, you honour your family members, because this is a command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we don't do this because the world tells us or the society tells us, because today they may have this day and tomorrow they may say, well, we don't need it anymore. But we will always follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the internal commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nevertheless, it is an important day that they have put together, the 8th of March every single year, which celebrates the social, it celebrates the economic, the cultural and the political achievements of women. Especially here in the UK, women have gone through so much to get their right to vote, to get their right to have their voice here, to be an equal, for them to be able to work, for them to have any rights in inheritance, in property, etc. They went through so much to get that. whereas Islam has always given the honor, the dignity, the nobility women from the beginning of Islam. And this is something that we will continue from the time that we are born. We tell our children, we ourselves conduct in such a manner that we always show our reverence and honor towards our mothers, because without the mother we will never be able to enter into the gardens of paradise. The mother is at the feet, the Jannah is at the feet of your mothers. This is commanded by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So raising awareness, this is one of their key points that they do. They try to raise awareness of gender inequality and try to advocate for women's right and empowerment. So this is not something that just should be done once a year or once a month. But for us as Muslims, it should be something that we constantly remind ourselves, that we honor our parents. And our parents, we honor our mother especially, because the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, Ummuk, 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 multiple times before then he said, then it is your father. So we have already this beautiful heritage, this beautiful tradition of Islam, which commands us to honor and dignify our women. Nevertheless, as you know, in society we have Islam and what Islam teaches us, but then we have culture as well. And after culture can mix into our religion, and sometimes it does, unfortunately, override what our religion says. It can override things, whether it's the culture of the Middle East, whether it's the culture of the Indian subcontinent, or anywhere else in the world, we generally mix our culture and our faith together. We always need to remember that it is Allah and the Deen and His command first, and then it is the culture and what, and the other expectations of society. So our view of Islam, our view of women should be based on the view of Islam, the view and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the treatment of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Not just what you see sometimes which may be against the Sharia by our culture, and not what you may be shown in the media that, oh, this is how Muslims treat other women. This is how they treat their girls. This is how the Afghanistani people, the Afghans, they are preventing the women from education. This is how Islam views women and they force their marriages. So much is shown in the media that this is what Islam is. But we know Islam is very clear and distinct, and the culture is very different as well often. So how does Islam view women? Are women actually oppressed within our religion? Is there superiority complex that Islam has as patriarchy, or is there an equality and equity in the religion? Are women forced and compelled to wear the hijab, and do they actually have any rights? Do they even have a voice? Generally in our culture we say, chup kar, you know, men are talking, be quiet, you know, you have no say. And we have this, unfortunately, and it's a culture that we have adopted from our fathers and forefathers, etc. But we don't look at that, we look at what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, what does the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam command us to do. So Islamic versus cultural misconceptions, it's very important for us to distinguish the two, what the culture is and what Islam is. And in culture, generally, we have this complex that men are superior in every single way. Why? We have more muscles, we have more strength, we're more brainy and intelligent, etc. And so many other things that men think that they are macho, they have the bravado, they have all of these other things. And without men, women can't do anything. This is, unfortunately, sometimes it seeps into us and it's shared within our society. And we see women as objects. We see women as sexual objects or objects to do certain things and duties. But let's look at what the Qur'an teaches us. How is the viewpoint of Islam and the Qur'an? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا. He addresses all of humanity. And humanity here is saying that men, don't think that you are at the top. You're at the top. No, no, all of humanity, and humanity includes men and women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing both of them in this particular verse. أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. That be mindful, be conscious, be aware of your Lord who created you from a single soul. So men and women, they have the same essence, they have the same soul, they have the same source. And from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that source, from the origins, created men, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created women. So women are not from Mars and men are not from Venus or Mars, whichever what they say. Tika, it doesn't work like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us from the same essence, from the same composition, biologically, etc. Yes, we differ in our shape, in our form, but our source, our DNA in its essence is the same, our structure is the same. And from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread countless men and women throughout the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Sayyidah Hawa. And they both lived there together. And on earth then, men and women spread, as we know, as the eras went on. So whilst men and women are biologically different, but that doesn't mean that they're in opposition to one another, that they're in competition with one another. No, rather they are there to complete each other's lives. They are there to complement one another. Men don't necessarily have the same emotional capacity to be more forbearing and patient. Women rather have a more slow burn, and men are very, very fast into their anger and into their frustration. So everybody has their qualities. The way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed men, the way that He has designed women is very, very distinct. But that doesn't mean that they are completely alien to one another, but rather they are from one another, made for one another, and they are made for one another and from one another. So both genders before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are actually considered to be equal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands men and women both to respect one another in a relationship. So especially in marriage and before marriage, you have to respect your elders, whether they are male or whether they are female, it doesn't matter. You show that respect and that dignity without singling one gender over the other. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has spent a huge amount of effort and time to change the culture and the conception of how men used to prefer their sons over their daughters. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam would deliberately go out of his way to showcase more affection and more love to girls, to children, to his daughters, to show people that these are equal and you should show as much affection and love. So much so that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam actually mentions, go further than that, he says that when you have a boy, you have a single form of barakah coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you are blessed with a girl, you have double barakah coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal wants us to treat one another with equality, with equity, with respect and dignity. And we need to, irrespective of gender, male or female gender, I'm not talking about the gender fluidity, male and female gender, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed and created us, we need to treat each other with equal respect and dignity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dignified the children of Bani Adam, not just the man, but the woman as well. وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. So again, it's very important for us to realize that our religion teaches us, compels us, and commands us to respect our women, to respect our mothers and our daughters and our sisters, just the way that we would expect respect, to share that respect with them as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran as well, He goes out of His way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to showcase that men and women are equally addressed in the Quran. The Quran was not revealed just solely for the men. It was revealed for the men, for them to memorize, for them to practice, and for them to preach, etc. No, the Quran and its ahkamat are revealed for men as they are revealed for women. They're revealed for the elders as it is revealed for the youngsters. It is revealed for the believers, that is also revealed for the non-believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inclusive in that sense. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab reminds us, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. Towards the end of an ayah, again and again, repeatedly, because one of the women, one of the sahabiyat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, asked that, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically reveal pronouns for women? Even though in the Arabic Quran and in the Quran itself, whenever the masculine is mentioned, it is already encompassing the female in terms of command and hukum. It was already there, inclusive in the Arabic language and grammar. But nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that indeed the believing men and indeed the believing women and indeed those people who the believing, those who submit of the men and also submit of the women, the obedient men and the obedient women and the truthful men and the truthful women, etc., etc., all the way to the end of an ayah, again and again, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not distinguish. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to assist you is, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that the most noble of you, the most recognized of you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the one with the biggest beard, is not the one with the biggest muscles, is not the one who is tall or handsome or a male, no. Who's the most noble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is most conscious, the one who has the most taqwa, the one who is the most closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether you are a male or a female, it doesn't matter to Allah azza wa jalla. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see is how much you submit and how much faith that you have and how much you worship Allah azza wa jalla. Once the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in the masjid, he was calling out to people, say, "Ya ma'ashara al-nas, oh people." He was calling them so that they could come and assist the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and she heard the call of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And one of the maids was braiding the hair of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And she said, "Leave me, let me go, I need to go and answer the call of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam." She said, no, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is calling the men. And she said, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Oh people, and am I not from amongst the people?" "Yes, I am." So rather than us always distinguish between gender, male or female, we should look at each other as human beings, that we are from the same source, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator, and He has created us in the same way, and we need to treat each other with the same respect and dignity. And this is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is how the Sahaba Ikram would interpret it and live their lives as well. Yes, today we have more of a separation, but in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the women would go to the masajid as frequently as the men would go as well, and they would interact. Yes, they would read at the back, but nevertheless they would still have that interaction and that engagement with one another, because they realize they all need to work for Islam. They all need to work for the community, for the ummah. They all need to work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, a person is looked at how much economic benefit they can bring. How much are you giving back to the community? How much tax are you paying? And if you're a mother at home, then you're not economically active. You're just staying at home. You're not benefiting the society. But no, women, whether at home, whether at work, they're always benefiting society, because they are upbringing their children, they are taking care of their homes and their families, and they are also doing service to their deen in many, many ways. So don't just think because you earn the money that you have a right over everybody else, but no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at your ibadah, looking at your actions, the sincerity of your actions and the quality of your actions. So the believing men and the believing women before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are allies of one another. So there's no real friction or animosity that I need to be here and you need to be there. We are no. Allies and partners and companions are there on an equal footing. They're working together. When you go into business, then it's 50-50. Okay? When you do anything else, you work together to achieve the same goal and objective. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. And He wants us to work with our wives and our sisters and our daughters and our mothers to achieve the same goal, to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, to follow the Quran, to follow the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to live a life of peace and serenity, to live a life of respect and dignity and tolerance, and to spread peace and harmony within the society, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be worshipped. None of these things require any gender, whether you're a male or female. Everybody should be doing this together equally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. That men and women, what are they to one another? They are allies of one another. They are partners of one another. What do they collectively do? They are there not to be at friction, that this is your job, this is your compartment, this is your area, but no, both do it together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, within the home, he would help clean and cook. He would take out the rubbish. He would do all of the housework that his wives would do as well. And they would also help out as much as possible within the community and the society in the masjid as well. They didn't just say, you know, just stay there and let me do the man thing. No, it was done collectively in partnership. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. Allies, friends, companions, partners, working together. What do? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. That they enjoin that which is good. How can you enjoin that which is good if you're sat at home? If you have no access to your wider community or society and you don't interact or engage, and you just say, no, garbage terror, how does it work like that? How can you do يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, just you and your children, that's it? You have no other duty to your family, to your extended family? How do you forbid evil if you never see evil, if you just stay within the confines of your home? Tell me exactly how you can achieve that when the hukum is there for the man and the woman to do both of these things, for them to observe the regular prayers at home, also in the masjid, to practice charity, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Both of these men and women, when they do this together, then they have the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most exalted in power and who is the most wise. So women can be role models, just as we look towards the role models of men as well. We say, oh look, this person is a successful entrepreneur, this person is a successful businessman, etc., etc. But women are also role models for other women, they're also role models for men as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam once drew four lines on the ground, and he said, these four are the best women of paradise. These are the queens and princesses of paradise. He mentioned his own wife, Khadijatul Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He mentioned Sayyidina Fatimatul Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. He mentioned Sayyidina Maryam alayhi salam. He mentioned Sayyidina Aisha Asiya alayhi salam. Why? They were recognized for their worship. They were recognized for their devotion. They were recognized for their social care and their engagement with the society and their sacrifices for the thing that they did. So much so that Jibreel alayhi salam came, was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send salam upon Sayyidina Khadijatul Kubra. Sayyidina Fatimatul Zahra radiallahu ta'ala was honored. Why? Because of her in fellowship of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and her sacrifices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself praised Sayyidina Maryam, her chastity, her honor, her dignity, and her sacrifices. So we can also look towards their sacrifices and say, yes, we can, we want to be something like this. Our daughters, our mothers, our sisters should be looking towards, look at these women, these are no ordinary women, look at the maqam and the station that they have achieved through their hardship. If they just stayed at home and said, oh, we're not going to do anything, then how would they have ever achieved all of these things? It would say the Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, who protected the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, reassured him and strengthened his heart and his mind and soul and pushed him and encouraged him. She supported him in so many ways. It was her. Imagine if any other man is like, Allah khair karsi, and that's it, we just move on. Whereas women, they have this uncanny ability to really look in and have this deep insight and to really touch you and to give you that motivation and that strength and the ability to move forward. Whereas men, we just say a few words and they say, chalo, that's it, move on. We don't want to really open up emotionally in that particular way. So women have an equal right and they have a huge maqam in society. They have a right to live just like every single one of us has a right to live as well. Their life is valuable and substantial just the way the life of a male is substantial as well. People have girls and say, what about chipa dagar, what about your wife, so we can have a boy. What will that boy do? Who takes care of you when you're old? Who takes care of you when you're sick and you're ill? None of the boys, they have their wives, they're taking care of their wives. And Masih, they're taking care of their own kids. They don't come to take care of you. It's always the daughters who do everything and they sacrifice. But we all say, oh, no, we don't want to have girls. This is the girl that will take you into Jannah. Their lives are substantial and valuable as daughters, as mothers and sisters, and as members of society. And the Quran very clearly forbade that, you know, when what the people of Makkah used to do, when they used to bury the female girls at a very, very young age. And they will ask on the day of Qiyamah, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, what was the reason that I was killed? And the only reason was that they were female. And Islam forbids this practice in totality. So we must always honor and dignify our women to the best of our ability, preserve them, honor them, and protect their wealth. Explicitly in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, preserve their honor and their wealth and give them their share in what is their right. You're not allowed to force them in their marriage or prostitution or anything else, but rather as a community, as a family, we need to take care of them and make sure they remain dignified in their entire life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us so many examples. Who was the suckling and the foster parent of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Sayyida Halima. Who was the, you know, the guardian and the maids? Umm Ayman. Who was the businesswoman? Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra. Who was the one who preserved the physical copy of the Quran? Who was that? Hafsa bint Umar. She memorized it and preserved it. The Quran that we have today is because of her and her sacrifices. Who was the social worker and benefactor? Zainab bint Khuzaymah. Who was the public administrator in the time of Medina and also in Basra? The market inspector, Samara bint, and the soldier, and the, so many other things. Women were always there at the forefront in society. So look at our beautiful tradition, look at our religion, and see what women used to do. Don't just confine them to their homes, and don't just continue what the Afghanis are doing, the Afghans, the Taliban, other people are doing, what society shows us, and have this bad image of women, but rather show them their dignity, their true maqam, and their status, as commanded to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.